Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would please join me in opening up to St. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. St. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. My dear Reverend Fathers and brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach this coming weekend, we will begin one of the five canonical Lents of the Holy Church in preparation for the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord. When I think about these 25 days, it can be a time of great reward physically and spiritually if it is used properly. As we abstain from certain foods, as we spend more time in prayer and meditation, and as we become more charitable, we become less world-centric and more Christ-centric. This Lent prepares us to meet Christ who was born in Bethlehem. And the purpose ultimately is that we must be purified and cleansed. For as the priest reminds us in the Holy Qurbana every week, the holy things are only for the holy and pure. As we continue with Sluto with the theme of divine intervention, I wanted us to take a moment to recall the story of this man with leprosy. Leprosy was actually one of the most dreaded diseases of the Old Testament and during the time of Christ. In fact, modern scholars are not exactly sure what biblical leprosy was. But we believe that it was a serious skin condition that was extremely contagious and incurable. Associated with the disease was great physical suffering, as well as isolation from society. Leprosy, especially in the time of the Old Testament, made a person ritually unclean. Touching a leper defiled a Jew almost as much as touching a dead person. They believed that, in a sense, leprosy was a sign of God's disfavor. And we find references to the treatment of lepers in the book of Leviticus, specifically in chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. That's Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. It reads, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." These are the words that we read from the book of Leviticus. Jewish practice required lepers that attended the synagogue to actually be the first ones to enter and the last ones to leave. They had to remain in a special compartment that isolated them from the other worshipers. They were considered outcasts and untouchables. The cure of a leper was as difficult as raising a person from the dead. In the Old Testament, we find only two people who were cured of leprosy. The first was Miriam, who had leprosy for 7 days as a punishment for speaking against Moses' leadership. that we find in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 9 through 15. The other is the story of Naaman, a heathen general of the army of Aram from Damascus, who was healed upon obeying Elijah's instruction to wash 7 times in the River Jordan. That we read in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. With this background, I just wanted to highlight a few important points for us to consider from the gospel reading that we heard this evening. The first, the man is described as being full of leprosy. This indicates to us that he was in an advanced stage of the disease. We can assume that he had been living with the disease for many years. He had suffered and was suffering physically, mentally, and spiritually. He was probably living in great anguish and was looking for relief. And when we look at ourselves, I think we are likewise immersed in a disease, that is sin, and we keep sinking further and moving farther from God. Spiritually, the sin in our life is a form of leprosy, for it covers our being and causes great suffering and isolation. Sin, which is often defined as missing the mark, it simply separates and isolates us from God. We were all created to be in union with Him. But for some reason, we keep choosing sin. And remember, it's a personal choice. What often begins as a small white lie eventually cascades and leads to many other sins. The church calls these inherent weaknesses in us that entice us to sin passions. The church fathers shared the view that the proper order has been negatively affected by the passions. The fall caused us to plunge into passions and sin, cutting us from divine communion. As a result, the more the passions control and dominate us, the more we separate ourselves from God. When I look ahead to the upcoming Lent, it is the perfect time for us to identify the ailments that separate us from God and seek forgiveness. The second point that I want to make is the words that the leper uttered before Christ. He fell before Christ saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This statement is filled with meaning. The leper finds that the only avenue of hope that can get rid him of this great ailment, and that is Christ. He comes in faith knowing two main things. Number one, that Christ was God. And number two, that Christ could heal him. Thus he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." So just by the statement, we see that the leper identified Christ as God and Christ as the one who could heal him. The leper knew that Christ could heal him, but was unsure if he would. Once we have come to the realization that we have sinned and are unclean, we have to come to Christ in faith, trusting that in his grace and mercy, he will be compassionate and cleanse us from what defiles our souls. The third point that I want to make is that Christ immediately touched the leper and acknowledges that he will help him. And the leprosy, quite amazingly, departed immediately at the touch of Christ. Seeing the great faith of the leper and having compassion for him, our Lord reaches out and touches him and heals him physically, mentally, and spiritually. That is, the body, the soul, and the mind. Christ knew the consequences of his own action because according to the law, the one who touches a leper became unclean himself. But here, Christ, the all-compassionate one, was showing that he was the Lord of the law and that he would not be defiled. He wants and wills for all men to be cleansed and purified. And thus, when we come in faith to him, especially through the sacrament of holy confession, he touches, he cleanses, and he purifies. He restores to us the joy of our salvation. And yes, indeed, as the psalmist David cries out, we can become whiter than snow. On December 1st, we begin the 25-day period where we proclaim the miracle of God becoming man. This is the time in the Orthodox Church where our attention is drawn to the great mystery of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know many of us await his coming in anticipation, but our preparation is something that must be considered. If this is such a season of great joy, why is it that we as Orthodox Christians even have the practice of Lent during this time? The first thing that we have to remember is that fasting is not simply done, especially during this Christmas time, to remember the birth of a baby, but rather it was God being united with man. This is an event that should make us tremble with awe and wonder, bringing us to humility and desiring to offer thanksgiving. But nowadays, I see that we are engulfed in the secular traditions of this holiday season with the focus on gifts and parties. And the significance of this great event is often less than an afterthought. Do we take time to think about why God was incarnated and became man? Do we reflect on the truth that it is through him and his becoming one with us that we can now become one with him? Do we remember that before this event, man was not able to overcome the fear of death and was held in bondage to sin? The reality is that the virgin birth of Jesus is one of the greatest miracles in the history of mankind. Now we can become like God and be united with him. With the Lent, we are preparing for celebration of the beginning of the transformative journey he prepared for our salvation. And December 1st is just a starting point for this journey. The journey is one that requires our development of greater humility so that we can fully appreciate what God has given to us. This is our journey where we must learn to surrender our souls. Let God have control. This is the spirit that we must embrace as we enter into this Lent. And I don't want us to begin to rebel against all these constraints that we have during Lent. Especially a lot of times I see that people begin to complain a lot more around Lenten time. And it seems odd to me that we are willing to pay such large sums of money to enter into special diet programs like Jenny Craig or others. But when the church asks us to engage in such rites for our spiritual well-being, we resist and even think that it is something impossible to do. Unfortunately, Lent or fasting is not practiced in much of the Christian world today. But remember, it is a tradition given to us through Christ himself, and it is passed on to us by the apostles that many have lost. Remember the words that Christ said, "When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites." Note, Christ here did not say, if you fast, but when you fast. Thus, it is an expectation that we have as his disciples. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach this Lent, let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us our shortcomings and transgressions, especially the leprosy that inflicts and separates us from God and his love. Let us pray for deliverance and protection from our passions. Let us come to Christ in holy confession, trusting in his grace and mercy, and receive the healing and purification of body and soul. God wills that each and every one of us should be saved and experience true peace and joy in our Christian life. We can choose to remain in our sin and be weakened with spiritual ailments, or we can choose, as the leper, to come to Christ and ask for healing. The choice is given to each and every one of us. May our Lord and Savior touch each of us during this upcoming Lenten period and remove the defiling spiritual leprosy in our lives so that we can readily prepare ourselves to receive Christ on the Feast of the Nativity. Lord God, in your infinite goodness, extinguish in us the burning of the incitements to sin. Purify our minds and our bodies from the leprosy of sinfulness. Heal our brokenness by the power of your right hand. Enlighten the eyes of our minds by the light of your knowledge, and prepare us for the glory of your majesty, and that of your Father and your Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen.